The nation's veterans, like the rest of the population, doesn't stay put. Veterans move, they grow older, they go outside the VA for health care. The next thing you know, Veterans Affairs Department facilities don't line up with its requirements. The Government Accountability Office finds VA doesn't have a very effective process for aligning facilities and capital investments. Joining me with more, Deborah Draper, Director of Healthcare Issues at the GAO. Debbie, good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And this is interesting because your report comes just as the new secretary, David Chilkin, had mentioned that they have a problem with too many facilities in one place and maybe not enough in some other places. Tell us what you found about their process for deciding where to put their capital investments in facilities.
Well, they have a couple of processes that they use. One is the SCIP program, which is the Strategic Capital Investment Planning process. And that is a process they established in 2010. And really the goal was to assess and identify long-term capital needs. And from that was really to identify gaps that may exist, and gaps could be excesses or deficits of services at the local level. So the process was to identify those and to have medical facilities develop a 10-year plan for their respective facilities, which would include how to address those service gaps. So it's interesting to note because this was a process that replaced a former process called the Capital Asset Realignment for Enhanced Services or CARES process. And that process, the results of that, issued a report to Congress in 2004. They had a number of projects and actions that they were going to undertake to around alignment, and they submitted the report to Congress. And that process was essentially terminated with the beginning of the SCIP process. So, and there were a lot of recommendations from that effort that were never implemented. So the SCIP process is one major process that they use in planning capital assets. A second piece is the VA integrated planning process, and this is another tool that some regional medical regions use, as well as some of the individual VA medical centers. And really the goal of this is to identify where to best locate healthcare services based on veterans' locations and referral patterns. And but this began as a pilot project in 2011, and not every VA medical center or regional networks currently uses this process. And they expect to complete it. I think there are about 6 of 18, about a third of the regional networks and the facilities within those networks are currently using it, and they expect to complete this by late 2018.
And one of the things I found very early in the report, 168 VA medical centers, a fact a lot of people know, 1,053 outpatient medical facilities, and the VA has a total inventory, I think you said, of 6,091 owned buildings and almost 1,600 leased buildings. It's a wonder they ever have a space issue anywhere.
Well, it's interesting because part of the problem is how they're aligning their facilities. So I think you talked about it briefly in your opening, but there are a number of factors that underlie the need to really better align their facilities. One, as you mentioned, is the shifts in the veteran population. So by 2024, it's expected that the veteran population will decrease by about 14%, and that will begin a decline in the number of veterans. Also, we're seeing a geographic shift in veterans migrating from the Northeast and Midwest, where many of the VA facilities are located, to areas in the South and West. And this is something that's also reflected in the larger population. But we also continue to see a shift from inpatient to outpatient care, and that is a trend that we see in the overall healthcare market as well. But the problem with VA is that the average age of their facilities is 60 years old, so it's 5 times older than a typical not-for-profit hospital. So it's really difficult for those facilities that have been built so long ago to retrofit them or renovate them so that they meet the current standards for providing outpatient care.
Now, recently, Congress did extend the CHOICE Act, which is aimed at getting veterans out of VA facilities and into private local facilities with VA paying. How should this all figure into their capital planning process?
Well, it should. So VA purchase care, it's a growing portion of how they're delivering health care. Fiscal year 2015, for example, they obligated over $10 billion for care in the community for about 1.5 million veterans. And then 3 years earlier, it was in fiscal year 2012, they spent about $4.5 billion on care in the community for about 983,000 veterans. So it is an important piece, The problem, one of the weaknesses with the current models, capital asset planning models that they use, is that they don't really take into account the shift to care in the community. They make the assumption, generally make the assumption, that all the care will be delivered by VA.
We're speaking with Debbie Draper, Director of Healthcare Issues at the Government Accountability Office. The other thing I thought was surprising is that net of all of this is that the regional and local VA planners are pretty much all on their own, and nobody seems to pay that much attention to what happens at headquarters in its planning process.
Well, I think what happens is that, you know, some of the models like the VA integrated planning process, which creates facility plans at the local level, they have different contractors that are doing a lot of that work, and so there's no consistency from perhaps one medical center or one regional network to another. And, you know, what we heard from facility planners is that they don't feel like the plans that come out of that or the suggested projects that come out of that really reflect their needs. So, you know, they don't feel like the local market needs are accurately reflected. So, and many of them actually have do additional facility plans using their own processes, which they think are better. And so there's some duplication of effort there. And, you know, so there's just not, you know, there's just not a lot of, I guess, faith or reliance on those particular plans.
What does this all add up to? It sounds like the result could be that different facilities just give different levels of care and different capabilities, depending on which capital planning process they used and where they are in the whole scheme of things.
Well, overall, it just really results in not good alignment of facilities with the needs of veterans seeking health care services. Some markets, you may have excess capacity. Other markets, you may not have enough capacity. So there's really just a misalignment of facilities with veterans' needs based on, you know, the things, the shifts, the demographic and geographic shifts in the veteran population, as well as changes in how healthcare is delivered. And, you know, particularly in this case, related to changes with increased reliance on care in the community.
But capacity aside, you couldn't also say that each facility that VA owns and operates gives equal care itself, because they may have different investments they've made in the facilities besides capacity.
Yeah, I mean, VA reported in 2016 that they have 370 buildings that are vacant or less than 50% utilized. And they also reported nearly 800 buildings that are either unneeded or underutilized that will require significant resources to maintain. So right there, you're talking about 1,100 or 1,200 facilities that probably are not meeting the needs of veterans.
And so what does GAO finally recommend that VA ought to do about all of this?
Well, we made a number of recommendations. We feel like the planning process could be improved. The SCIP process, for example, has limitations related to how they score and approve the proposals, as well as there's a very lengthy timeline of getting those from writing a proposal to getting it approved. It can range from somewhere between 17 and 23 months. So, for example, a facility told us they were working on their 2015 submissions and they hadn't even learned about what was approved for funding for 2013 or 2014. The other thing is really to look at, you know, the facility master plans, and, you know, we feel like there are weaknesses there, and that either they need to discontinue those or address the limitations related to those, and that would include things like including how care in the community choice program really affects facility plans. And then one thing we haven't talked about, but we believe that they could do a better job about communicating with stakeholders around any proposed changes they make to facilities. And this could include following best practices and really evaluating whatever plans they have for communicating with stakeholders.
And VA generally agrees with what you found out.
Yes, they did.
Well, let's hope they act on it then, I guess. Debbie Draper is Director of Healthcare Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find a link to her report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.